Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
So tonight, just for a few moments, I want to speak about who's in charge of your life. Now, talk to your neighbor for a moment, and I'll give you permission, and even online, why don't you just ask someone, who is in charge of your life? 30 seconds to have a little yak. Okay, here's the facts. If you're a married man, your wife is in charge of your life. That's only joking. Well, maybe true. Or if you're single, you might say, you know, and you're a young adult, I am in charge of my life. Or I am in charge of my life. Or if you're a young person, you say, oh, it's mum and dad. Man, they're it. But let's just think about this for a moment. Who do we kind of lean to for advice? Who do we lean to that we want to stay in favor? And the Bible says that many times it's easy to kind of want to stay in favor with the group. But if we want to get ahead and have a life that's on the firm foundation, we've got to find what is pleasing to God. Because when we are pleasing to God, it's amazing how we can grow in favor with God and with man. Because what your friends really want around you, they want to see what you believe. Are you just going to go along, or you're just going to say, hey, this is what I believe. I don't mind hanging around, but this is far enough. Am I in charge of my opinion, what I think? Or is God in charge of my thoughts? Because my thoughts are not your thoughts, it's the Lord. My ways are not your ways. So does that mean I can't think like God? Does that mean I can't walk in the ways of God? No, I just believe that the closer we get to God, we understand the thoughts of God. We understand the ways of God. Who's in charge? Who do we kind of look to? And you might be sitting here today and you believe that it's in the sovereignty of God, that doesn't really matter what I choose or what I do. In the end, that God is sovereign. And I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe that He pulls the switches. Do you know what I mean? He holds the king within His hand. He holds my next breath in His hand. He gives me the breath that I speak. He keeps my heart beating. I do believe in the sovereignty of God, but also I believe 100% I believe in the sovereignty of God. 99% I believe in the responsibility of man to respond to the sovereignty of God. So my prayer is, as I desire to stand firm, that God, I want to follow you. I want to take up my cross. Not the big cross. He's paid the price for that. But I want to take up the cross. I want to take up my responsibilities as a Christian. And I want to live for you. Are we in the right house tonight? And when I kind of think, what are God's thoughts? I kind of look at the Word of God. And I think, if God has spoken, then it's easy for me to form an opinion. So no matter what may be happening in the world, you've got to go back to the Word of God and say, what does God say about that? Because that forms my opinion. My opinion without the Word of God, without the Holy Spirit, without His wisdom, really matters nothing. But if it's based upon the Word of God, it carries weight. I think Jesus says this. John 14 and verse 6. He says, I am the way. Is that true? What is the rest? So you know it. But it becomes a cliche. So we want to know the way, but Jesus says he's the way. So if you want to know your way in life, keep following Jesus. If you want to know the truth of life, keep following his word. If you want to know the life of God, keep following him. And I just looked at this afternoon and I just think, if you find the truth, you'll find the way and you'll experience life. If you find the truth, and the truth becomes a liberating force within our life. I don't want to see people standing firm in legalism where we become like cultish and there's no relevance between us and those around us. I want us to stand in truth and be people that are so relational and so relaxed in our convictions, not relaxed convictions, but strong convictions, but relaxed in the way that we live them out in an uncompromising way. So tonight, for the next few moments, I want to talk about how do you stay healthy spiritually? And I've just got written down here, maybe for us to stay healthy spiritually, we need to stay humble. How do you preach about humility? Come on, Steve, you're good at it. How do you speak about it? Because you just kind of think, if we feel that we're better than another, I think that lacks the essence of humility. If we think that we know better than God, we lack the essence of humility. There's a thing called pride. Who understands pride? Now, pride, sometimes, you know, we don't pull back enough and think, what is pride? Now, if I was to look around here tonight, in the front row and up the sides here, I believe that each one of you people take pride in yourself. Who believes that's healthy? The way you present yourself, you take pride in yourself. I don't necessarily think that's a bad proud pride. Or you can be humbly proud about your accomplishments. I don't necessarily believe those things are necessarily bad. So the pride word is not necessarily a bad word. But when it becomes arrogant pride, it's all about me, what I believe, what I want. It's all about I. It's all about I am the best. I am better. I don't need God. I don't need anyone. It's amazing. Sometimes we think of proud people as being brash. But I've met some people who have been quietly proud. It's arrogance. They don't need God. They don't need anyone. They can't be taught. They're unteachable. They're unmoldable. But I believe the people that know how to stand firm are those who are teachable and moldable in the hands of the living God. I believe that God sees both. He sees those that are brashly, prideful, and he sees those that are quietly prideful. So humility is the narrow path that leads to life. And I'm of the thinking tonight that I want my life to go down the track of, I need you, God. I'm interdependent on people. I like people in my life. But God, I want to be more dependent upon you. Not sitting back waiting for you to do it all, but me and God are living life together. Me and God are making plans. Me and God are making decisions. Me and God are going to do something with these gifts and talents he's placed within my life. But it all comes back to God that gives us the energy, the drive, and the motivation. In the next few moments, we're going to pull this together because we're looking at Daniel. And we see in Daniel, there was this king, this ruler. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. If you will just understand, I believe he had some pride issues. One of his pride issues or proud issues was this, that I want you to worship me. I am God. Who believes that's a bit of a pride issue? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow down because of this proud man's image. And the other time when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, It was because of the pride of Nebuchadnezzar and those around him which made rules. You only pray to Nebuchadnezzar and not to a living God. So we choose to be proud. And I believe for each one of us, we choose to be humble or we choose humiliation. Think about that for a moment. You can choose to be humble or you can choose to be humbled. Humble yourself under the mighty God and the mighty hand of God. We choose that. Or the other one is God will humble you. But at the end of the day, we will be humbled. Tonight the message is, I want to humble myself. I don't want to be humiliated. I want to humble myself and walk with God in humility. So I want to give you a couple of areas tonight. Is this okay? Just where maybe we can see pride begin to grow in an unhealthy way. And the first one is this. And you will notice that you see it, that sometimes pride begins to flourish when we're doing okay. Or in other words is when we're prosperous and when we're content and when everything's okay. And we can get that kind of sense of entitlement. This is what I'm entitled to. I'm entitled to my prosperity. I'm entitled to my contentment. I'll have and I'll do whatever I want to do. That's the bad side of prosperity and contentment. But I want to tell you, God wants you to be prosperous and God wants you to be content, but not let that be the leveler that incites pride within your life, but it incites dependence on God because it all came to me because of God. I think this sometimes in good times, we may not think about God too much. Success and prosperity can blind us, and I'm not against prosperity preaching. I'd rather preach prosperity than poverty. Does that make sense? But here's the rub. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 in the Living Bible, it says this, and it's an interesting one. This is Paul really having a grab at someone. He says, why are you so puffed up about? Or what are you so puffed up about? What did you have that God hasn't given to you? If all you have is from God, why act as though you were so great? As though you have accomplished something on your own? And I read that and I just say, wow. So people in times of prosperity can affect the pride issue. But when things hit the fan, when a disaster comes, when there's redundancy or when the savings disappear or the divorce papers turn up or there's sickness or there's death or there's crazy kids or you just can't get along in life and you just kind of think, man, everything was okay. Now what has happened? My prayer is always, God, help me to be less self-sufficient and let me be God-sufficient. On the outer, you can't see much of a difference many times, but you begin to talk to the person and their conversation, and you begin to pick up this person is learning the rhythms of starting to be a humble person. I believe you can learn humility. You'll learn it either by teaching yourself or God will teach you. So how do you stay God dependent? Especially you're doing okay. You know, you're doing okay at work, university. You're doing okay at school. Everything's okay. How do you stay God dependent? And I know it's a human issue. Because it's an issue that kind of happens to me. You know, I can have a really good Sunday. And I can walk around and say, oh man, I'm good. Oh, I'm God. I'm good. I'm good. What would you do without me, God? What crazy thinking. So how does John stay God dependent? Number one is I always remember where I came from. It's good to remember that. Not to wallow in it, but just to have a memory that you weren't always here. God did something for you. The other thing that I do to kind of stay God dependent is I pray. I find the less I pray, the more I'm dependent on John. The more I'm dependent on John, the less energy I've got, the less sharper I am. But when I pray, it makes me dependent upon God. The other thing that I do that makes me dependent upon God, that when I get my wage, I get 10% of it from the top and I give it straight back to God. What I'm saying to God is not only an act of worship, but what it does for me, it keeps my eyes on Jesus. I'm making something practical that costs me something, that keeps me dependent. And also I serve. Keeps my eyes off myself. I give back into the community, give back into people's lives. I love to do that. You're taking notes tonight. It's good. Online, learn it. Pray. Never forget where you come from. Serve. Give. It makes a big difference in your life. And the second point is this. I've got 45 of them to go. Number two is this. That pride can undermine your spiritual health. Let me ask you this. This is interesting, because a man is kind of gauged by the way he handles praise. What do you do when someone praises you and say, wow, that was a good job? What do you do? Ah, no, I'm just a humble servant. I'm just a worm and all that kind of stuff. I think we've got to learn how to handle praise when it comes to us. You've got to learn to handle it. And if perchance someone comes up to me and says, oh, John, that was good. You know what I always do? I look him straight in the eye and I say, thank you very much. But in my heart, I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. Because it's not all about me. It's about him. You see John up here. Yeah. But I see John at home, the insecure person and unsure and sometimes nervous and I'm preparing and I'm not sure how things are going to go and those kind of stuff for when I come up here and people are listening and people turn up and then people say you're doing well. I just feel like kneeling down before God and say, oh God, thank you. We got through it again. We got through it again. What does that do? It keeps us God dependent, not in an insecure way, but you get confidence in the dependence and God coming through. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, he learned this the hard way. He had a dream that one day he'd be a big tree that provided food and shade and protection. But the tree was called to be cut down. Its various parts would be dispersed here, there, and everywhere. And when Nebuchadnezzar, you know, heard this dream or understood this dream or had this dream, he hoped that this was all about his enemies that were going to be dealt harshly by him. He said, man, I'm big, I'm powerful, people take shelter in me, people are protected, I supply for them. And he got Daniel in, and he said, what does this dream mean? He listened to this, Daniel 4:22. He says, hey, it's not your enemy, it's you, O king. You have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. He goes down in verse 23 and then it says, inasmuch as the king saw the watcher, a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree, destroy it, but leave the stump, the roots in the earth, bound it with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. And then it says this, let him graze with the beast of the field to seven times pass over. When it talks about seven times in the Bible, a time is a year. So let 7 years pass. This is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king. They shall drive you from your dwelling place to be with the beasts of the fields, and they shall make you eat grass like an oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and 7 years shall pass over you till you know the Most High rules in the kingdom of man and gives to whomever he chooses. Great scripture. I just find that as pride grows, people seem to be more insane. And you might say, does God bring judgment? I don't believe that God does bring judgment. I think we bring consequence on ourselves. In the last days, there will be a judgment, but on this earth, I think there is consequences that people bring on themselves because we think we can outsmart God. So how do you kind of deal with this? You've got to have an attitude of gratitude that I am because I am because of the grace of God. I am because I am because of the greatest of God. The third and final point is this. We must learn to see the way that God sees. Are you hearing me tonight? Look at me. God does know best. Be honest with you. I know it. But every time something comes, I've got to process again. I know that God knows best, but I got to see that God knows best in this situation. I know that God knows best when I'm trying to deal with the financial issues, and I do that. And you've got to go through the process of life so that you can just know that God knows best. And if we can just lock into His ways and His thoughts and even His attitude, it helps us. God rules, I don't. We see here that Nebuchadnezzar learned the hard way. He went through 7 years, listen, of being a madman. Who's sitting near a madman tonight? No one. But he went through 7 years of being a madman. He lost his sanity, clarity, and peace of mind. You look in verse 40, chapter 4, verse 33, it says, that very hour the word of the Lord was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from man, ate grass like a wild oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. He was a mess. You see, we're living in a world where it's got full of pride, and some of the decisions are made, I think, are very insane. And be honest with you, I can't do much about that. I can pray. But what we can talk to is we can talk to the people of God. God's family. And we can start to realize, man, I've got to live by a different perspective than the world has. The world is not always wrong, but if they get or go away from the principles that are in the Word of God, I'm going to obey God and not what the world says. And I want to encourage us tonight, let's stand strong on God's perspective. Let's stand strong on the way that God sees things. Eventually, Nebuchadnezzar came to his senses. He humbled himself. And I want to encourage you today, if you know anyone that's full of pride, don't write them off. Because there's always a way back if they humble themselves. And I want to read the scripture and I'll wind up, and it says this. At the end of the time, at the end of the 7 years, Daniel 4:34 says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes. Church, if you want to get a good perspective in your life, stop looking at how great you are or how bad the circumstance and start to lift your eyes. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Look to Him. And He says, I lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. You may lack understanding. If you keep on looking unto Jesus, He'll give you understanding in your spirit. And I bless the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. His dominion, oh, I like this, is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or can say, what have you done? Verse 36, at the same time, my reason returned to me. Became normal, his thinking. For the glory of my kingdom, my honor and my splendor returned to me. Isn't it good that the God we serve is the God that restores? What does He look? He looks for people that will humble themselves and live in humility. My councils, my nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom. The excellence, majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, honor the God of heaven, for all those works are truth and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. Humility does not mean we put ourselves down. It does not mean that we are a doormat. It does not mean that you are nothing. It's saying that all that I am and hope to be is because of him who loved me and gave himself for me. We're in the right house. Look at this on the screen. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Should take a photo of this. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. You see, you can be courageous and humble. You can be prosperous and humble. You can be successful and humble. You can be promoted and be humble. You can be Mr. and Mrs. Average and be humble. It's who you accord what you have. He gives more grace. You know what that means? Favor. Therefore, God resists the proud, those who are arrogant against God, those who are arrogant against his ways. He says he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I tell you what, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So do we. Therefore, submit to God. Father, tonight, help me to submit my heart to you the best way I can. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, a humble person, if you live in submission to God, that submission to God automatically resists the devil. And he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. Get yourself cleaned up. You sinners, purify your hearts. You double-minded. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. My last scripture is this. 1 Peter 5, 5-9. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the right time or in due time. Cast all your cares upon him of trying to push yourself to get ahead because he cares for you. Be sober. Keep a good mind. Be vigilant. Be alert because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings experienced by your brothers in the world. The devil's always walking around like a roaring lion. He wants you to get full of pride. He wants you to get arrogant. He wants you to think it's all because of you. But if we can just humble ourselves and say, God, I want to stand firm. I want to be strong. I want to be my best self. If you can live that life of humility, that no matter what God does in your life, no matter how far it takes you, it doesn't change you. It just adds to your influence.
Thank you for listening to this life-transforming message. For service times, upcoming events, or to find out more about Inspire Church, log on to inspirechurch.com.au.